Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. I plan this afternoon to describe for you the most disturbing data set that I've ever seen. It concerns the grading of simulations using bar scales, and it concerns the reliability and the accuracy of the grading. We have a fundamental assumption when we grade our simulation to bars, and that fundamental assumption is that if we have inter-rater reliability in our grading panel, the grading is good. It's accurate, it's valid, but what I'm going to tell you about today is some data that disputes that assumption. And in short, I ran into, in my consulting, a situation where there were two panels grading all candidates independently, one live, one video, although when COVID came along, they were both grading video. And there was high reliability within the boards. You got the Spearman-Brown prophecy formula would tell you around 0.9. Sometimes higher. But when you correlated the scores of the two boards, it was a lot less than what you would expect. And if you think the board is correct with the 0.9, and it's not correlating with the other board with 0.9, all that high, that means your reliability isn't 0.9 anymore. Okay, so that's in a nutshell. So, we have a short history. I talked about this at the last IPAC. I talked about it at PSYOP, and then we'll talk about it again. We go from 12 situational exercises I talked about last year. This year, we'll talk about 66. Five job titles instead of one. And those are the five job titles. The exams are given every other year for the ranks. Total of 66 practical exercises scored with bars. So that's 134 grader panels. So let's define shrinkage. So we have the Spearman-Brown formula for board one and for board two. We have the observed correlation between the boards, but you can calculate the expected correlation based on the Spearman-Brown formula. And then you could get a percentage, observed over expected. And I calculated shrinkage, I just one minus observed over expected. So if your observed correlation was 0.5 and your expected correlation was 0.9 based on the two Spearman-Brown, the 0.5 is a lot less, so you have 5/9, and that's a little more than half, and shrinkage would be a little less than half. Okay, so here's an example. I couldn't give you all the data because you couldn't read it, so I just picked a few of the years. So here's the Spearman-Brown for the first board, and it's around 0.9. And for the second board, and it's around 0.9. So the expected correlation based on these two, the square root of the product, is around 0.9. The observed correlations were not 0.9. The mean was 0.63. The minimum, the smallest one we found, was 0.44. Well, 0.63 is not an impressive reliability. 0.44 is very sad. So the shrinkage is sometimes it was only 13% or 9%. Sometimes it was 48%. So that was for police sergeant. For police lieutenant, the shrinkage is about 25%. The minimum observed correlation between the two boards is 0.36. But that's with high Spearman-Browns, 0.36. And for police commander, a little better. We actually had some negative shrinkage. Fire lieutenant, a little better. Fire captain, a little better. So here's a summary for all the ranks. The average shrinkage was anywhere from 20 to 30%. So this low inter-board correlation is a general phenomenon. Then the question is, why? We thought maybe the number of anchors. So we had these 66 situational exercises, 132 grader boards, four dimensions per exercise. We had a bunch of anchors for each dimension. We counted the total number of anchors per exam, and we focused on the exercises with the observed correlation of less than 0.5 high shrinkage exams to see what was going on there. So we'll take a look at the police sergeant in a moment. There were 89 anchors on four dimensions. So is that 15 or so, 20 or so? 20, a few, okay. And we didn't see any particular pattern. So here are the four exams with the highest and the lowest number of anchors. The highest number of anchors was 108, the lowest was 69, and the observed correlation of those two were the same. So it didn't seem like the number of anchors was driving this or influencing it, sadly. Now we thought, how about topic? A lot of exercises, and there were a lot of topics. We tried to make some sense out of the topics. Those were the some of the areas we looked at, and we thought maybe some subjects were more difficult to score than others, and maybe that affected the shrinkage. So we reviewed the exercises, we looked at the subject matter, we tried to group the subject matter into categories, we created a little spreadsheet indicating which I'll show to you in a moment, and for the exercise 1 and 213, it didn't cover arrest, it didn't cover shots fired, it did cover a vehicle accident. It didn't cover escalation or de-escalation or administrative or DEI or protest, and there were 30 other areas. So I had the I had this spreadsheet, little check marks. I turned the check marks into ones, and then I ran a correlation between each subject matter area and shrinkage. And that's the first line here. Ignore the second line. But let's look at the first line. Minus 0.51 correlation between vehicle accident and shrinkage. DEI had a 0.61 correlation between the subject matter and shrinkage. A positive correlation means that the use of that subject matter area is associated with higher shrinkage. And higher shrinkage is bad. The vehicle accident of minus 0.51, that's a negative correlation, that's good. The subject matter is highly procedural, well documented in the SOPs. There are step-by-step instructions, so that maybe makes sense. And the DEI issue, that has a positive correlation with shrinkage. The subject is complex. The subject is less procedural, more subjective, often emotionally charged. So maybe that's harder to get to grade. But there was a counterexample. The arrest is also covered. It's procedural and it's covered clearly in the sources. But it was a positive correlation. So that means if the subject is arrest, you had more shrinkage. A clear counterexample. Maybe subject matter has something to do with it, because those correlations were statistically significant, but I don't think it's the whole story. Now let's look at this other line. I calculated the standard deviation of the ratings within the panel for each candidate, and then I correlated the subject matter with the standard deviation. This has nothing to do with the shrinkage, just the standard deviation. So a few of the areas had statistically significant correlations. So shot fired, if that was one of the, if the subject matter was shot fired, the standard deviation of the raters was greater. Wait a minute. But shot fired is very, very
well covered in the sources. It should have been the other way around. De-escalation worked the other way around. If the subject matter was de-escalation, it was less likely to have smaller standard deviation amongst the raters. That doesn't make a lot of sense either. And the administrative investigation maybe does make sense. So the administrative is logical. It's a negative correlation, and the subject is well covered in the sources, but for the shots fired and the de-escalation, we got the opposite of what we would have expected. For the sergeant data, 3 of the 24 topics were statistically significant, so you only would have expected one of them by chance, so we don't think this is due to chance. Maybe what was happening with the SOP stuff being covered very well is that the police people serving as SMEs came from different departments which had different procedures, and they didn't necessarily have time to become expert in this department's procedures, so they were evaluating people based on their procedures, different procedures, even though in the training they were warned very carefully not to do that. But maybe that's what happened, but I don't know. And then I correlated those two lines, zero correlation, 0.03. So this is applied research. I don't really know what's going on. So I'm seeking ideas of what other analyses might make sense. But maybe some dimensions work better than others. What I showed you so far was the overall grade of the four dimensions. Maybe we could look at individual dimensions and maybe that would tell us something. So we did the same analysis that Spearman Brown for boards 1 and 2, as he observed, the expected, the shrinkage. So for oral communication, and we focused on the four sergeant exercises that had the lowest observed correlations. Well, the Spearman Browns weren't bad, 0.88, 0.89. You might like to have something over 0.9, but that's not bad. But the observed correlations for oral communication were low. Some of them in the 0.3s. But you'd think you'd be able to get two boards to agree on evaluation of oral communication. But that wasn't the case. Interpersonal relations, again, the observed correlations were unfortunately low. Information analysis type of problem solving, low. Problem solving, another aspect, low. So it's not like some of the subject matter worked really well. I really hoped that the oral communication would have worked really well. No. So it seemed to be across dimensions. And maybe this fits well with the research that says that SMEs are not really evaluating dimensions when they evaluate situational exercises. They're evaluating tasks. This question is, did the boards get better with experience? So I divided the candidates into cohorts of 15. Did the same analysis for the first 15, the Spearman Brown, the expected, observed, and then the next 15, and the next 15, and the next 15, and I hoped that they get better with time. Here, they seem to get better with time, but here, time didn't seem to make much difference at all. Here, time didn't make much difference at all. And for some reason, I didn't do the fourth group. Sorry. But it didn't seem like that was a strong trend over groups. But that looked at the overall grades, not the individual dimensions. Okay, but then I looked at the order in which the candidates are scored. And only the top 80 candidates were actually scored out of the 100-something candidates each time, so that the grader boards wouldn't be spending a lot of time on people whose scores on the other components were so low they couldn't possibly get appointed. So I had the data in sequence, in the ID number order. I had the data from the Raider 1, from Raider 2, Raider 3, the overall board, and the same for the second board. And I said, oh, I could just do correlations there and see what I see. And this is what I saw. For board 1, the correlation with ID number was negative, and it was reasonably different than zero. And with the 80 people, it was highly statistically significant. Now, board 2 scored them in reverse ID number. Same negative correlation. So it wasn't a matter of maybe the candidates actually got worse as they went on, because the second board scored them in reverse order. And 0.4. There's stuff going on in that scoring that isn't planned and isn't good, and I'm not exactly sure what to make of it. The Raiders seem to be becoming more demanding over time. Maybe they develop a clearer definition of what they think the ideal answer is as they see more candidates. But the two boards didn't agree. So I think the two boards developed their own idea of what a good answer is. And they're good at applying that idea, but the two ideas don't agree. The question is, you know, where to go from here? Suggestions of practice and further research, and I'll open the floor in a little bit, maybe you have some ideas. But in terms of suggestions, I think there's a new gold standard. We should now be using two boards routinely. Our basic assumption, our fundamental assumption, that high reliability within a board means the scores are valid and accurate is now being shaken. And until you've proven that that's true, just running without evaluation is unreasonable. And I think that we should really look at all the data we get from our situational exercises and look at the data and see what kinds of things we could see. Pay attention to the grading order, see if we could find reasons for the Raider disagreements. One possibility is to, after the exam is over, have the two boards get together and talk about it. There's a practical problem with that. After they've been there for a week, they really don't want to stick around a lot longer, but for the higher level exam, with fewer candidates, there was actually enough time to do that once, and so we did that last year. And the I wasn't at that session, but the major finding that was reported to me is the board would say, oh, I didn't notice that. I think it would be very nice if we could get some collaboration with other testing groups, with other job titles, other examiner teams to see if this is seen elsewhere. So if anyone does this type of work and would like to do look at this a little bit more and would like to maybe talk about it and collaborate a little bit, I think that would be a good idea. So the PowerPoints are online on my website now. I've sent them to IPAC, and so they should be on the IPAC website in a little while. And at the references here, the chat, if anybody has any thoughts, reactions, ideas, I'd be happy to hear them. Yes?
Just having done a lot of work like this in the past, I'm curious about, I may miss the details at the beginning, what the training was like for these panels, how many people were on the panel?
Three people.
Okay. And then, were demographics considered at all?
Of course.
Were demographics of the panel makeup considered?
We tried to have a mix.
Okay. Yeah. Just curious about all.
Can Can you say a little bit about
And there are very few minority candidates go through. So I don't think, we didn't separate out the minorities to see if that'll look any different, excluding them, which would be a reasonable idea. But since there are not that many, it's not likely to.
Was there any rotation of people between panels?
No. Once the panels were set up, they were fixed.
Can you say a little bit about what they do in the panels? Like, do they rate independently?
They do an initial rating, supposedly without any discussion, although actually getting them to obey is a little hard. They smile or whatever. If the ratings are more than 2 points apart on a 9-point scale, they talk about it, but they don't have to reach consensus. They just have to at least discuss the difference. So the analyses here, I think we're all on the final, but the changes between the initial and the final are so small. We did at least some of the analyses on the initial, and it's the same thing. So, any ideas of what to do going forward to try to make this work better?
Are the mean ratings very different?
Say that again?
Are the mean ratings very different between Board 1 and Board 2?
So I looked at that a little bit, and one of the boards
that they just kind of like maybe were solidifying as to like how they were doing things, but they were doing things differently.
I think clearly they do. That's true because the correlations are low. So the other idea I had would be to have the analyst who was facilitating each panel, two panelists, get together after the exam because they don't have to leave. And then discuss the candidates where the boards disagree the most. But everybody has a lot of work to do, and it's hard to. I'm only a consultant. I'm not actually in charge of it, so I can't mandate it.
Could you go over what was the training like for the panels beforehand?
I've never observed the trainee, but as I understand it, they spend some time talking about the various kinds of rate of error, and talk about standardization, pilot subjects who've tried out the exercises before they go live, and so they practice reading on that, and then they take turns playing role-playing, and they all practice in one large group. They don't separate practice into separate groups. Sometimes they try to have a little paragraph that describes what good performance is, not usually.
And then, sorry, I have more. In terms of the bars that were used, I think one of the determining factors here, maybe the quality of the behavioral benchmarks in terms of clarity, what those are like, because obviously those can vary greatly. So I'm just curious if you had any examination of quality.
So the bars process in this jurisdiction was actually set up by Pat Smith, who developed the bars process. So they have a long history in terms of number of years of doing this. I'm not sure they're doing it perfectly, but they're at least they're doing it more than just seat of the pants. They notice the problem, or some problems, and they try to have some sort of hybrid bars where some of the actors on the bars are generic and it can be used from year to year, and some of the anchors on the bars are unique to the questions asked. And so each bar scale has some of each of those types. I think that's at least a reasonable
attempt. But they have S&Es rate the things and use those ratings to work to make the placements. So the way I got involved is a little curious. So the police union, some decades ago, was unhappy with the results of the exam and figured out that challenging the exams after the fact, the losing proposition, and so they negotiated with the city to be allowed to have an expert that they hire review the exams before they're held. So that's my role. I go to the police unit, and I review the exams before they're held, and I review them after they're held, and whatever. So, and they also negotiated to have two panels. I don't know of anyone else who has two panels. But if anybody has any ideas after you leave the room, please feel free to let me know. I'd be happy to chat about this.
You said the assessors are outside, incumbents or supervisors?
They are outside at the level of the exam that's, and that come from somewhat comparable jurisdictions.
Gotcha.
Outside the state.
Okay.
Sometimes for a lot of times, you know, for the exam for those specific police departments, test graders will create kind of a made-up city scenario rules. Is that a situation here, or do they have to hire on that?
The exam is very much graded in terms of the local SOPs.
That was what I'm wondering, because when you pointed out that maybe the panels didn't understand those or grading based on those specifically, maybe they just need something that's not specific to that, but more a scenario, you know, something else created for them.
Which is why I thought at least the oral communication.
Yeah, right.
I ran across an interesting report of entry-level police candidates in New York City who were graded on oral communication two consecutive years, and the correlation was very low. Well. Okay.